Are we ready to receive the word of God? Amen. So let's not be quiet. Let's preach with him. Let's go for it with him. That same spirit's in all of us. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. You're quiet today.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thought you'd all lost your voices.
Preach to me.
I'll preach to you, brother. Let's preach together the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. It is good to be together as a body of believers in who make up the house of God. Amen. Who meet in this building. Praise his wonderful name. And as Grace was sharing with you, about last Tuesday, Wednesday, lose track of days, whatever it was, whatever day we met, that morning that I woke up, I was in my study and I was just talking to the Lord and I said, we need you to move, Lord. We need you to continue to confirm and to sort things out. And I picked up a daily reading. I don't often pick this one up, but I just picked it up and flipped to the day. And it was Psalm 37 and verse 5. And 37 and verse 5 says this: commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And I went, right, it's done. Because we've committed our way to the Lord. We believed what he'd said to us, and we were just going for that so that everybody else knew that God had done it and they had to do it. And so praise God, we went along, as Grace was saying, to the meeting, and it was finished within a few minutes, and it was like, oh yeah, no problem, yeah, that's fine, we'll just send you the paperwork and that'd be excellent, no problem. And then we started to ask questions about some changes we want to make inside the building, and we were basically like, yeah, you can do that, that's no problem. And then, as Grace said about the charity side, and because they'd written in that we're going to have to pay the market value for the building. What is the market value for this building? You know, they have it insured at £2 million. Yeah, exactly. And we were told on Wednesday, you won't need to pay market value. I said, thank the Lord for that, because God had already told us the price. God had said the money's provided. And when God says he provides, he provides. You know, and we as a group of believers, of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to put our complete and utter trust in him. And I'm going to just carry on, and I'm just going to preach from Psalm 37 and verse 1, and we'll just take it from there. And really, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you committed and are you trusting in Jesus? Are you committed to him and are you trusting in Jesus? You and I need to be totally committed to the things of God. You and I need to be able to totally trust God. He's the only stable thing in the world today. He's the only thing that you can count on. God. The Word of God tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. So you and I, we need to change. Our commitment to him, our commitment to the house of the Lord, to the things that we do, we need to be committed to him. And we need to trust in God. And we need to believe that God is able to keep us in everything that we seek to do. When he tells us to do something, do it with all of your might. Do it with all of your strength. Do it with all of your heart. Have a passion for God. Have a passion for the things of God. The Bible tells us to cast all your care on him, because he cares for you. And so right now God is looking down at you and me, and he knows what we have need of. He knows what difficulties you may be facing. He knows what challenges you face. But as I said earlier, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. But so often we give our problems to God. We give our difficulties to God. And then we start pulling them back. So easy to forget that God said, trust me. Just threw the microphone away. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. It's not thundering or anything like that. This is what we do with our problems. We have them tied on a rope. You know, we hurl them on to God, then we start reeling them back in. Or they start reeling us back in, you know. The problem and the difficulty is there, and it's dragging us back to itself. And it's dragging us away from God. Let go. Let go. Trust God. Trust this Bible.
Yes.
This is true.
It is.
It's a word of truth.
Yeah.
Wednesday, I was saying, Lord, what's going to happen? And he gave me this verse of scripture. Commit your way. Give your way. Give everything you've got to God. And I'll tell you what, in exchange, he will give you greater than what you gave to him. He will give you far more in excess of what you gave to him. What did you give to Jesus?
Nothing.
What did you come to Jesus with?
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, you did have something. What did you have?
My mess.
A mess. A lifestyle of what?
Rebellious.
Rebellious. And you came to Jesus with that.
Yeah.
And you gave him that.
Yeah.
What did he give you?
New life.
Hallelujah. New life. A new future. A new hope.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah?
So you gave him nothing but rubbish. And he exchanged it for gold.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a good exchange. That's a great exchange rate. Can't beat it, can you? Glory to Jesus. What did you give to Jesus? What did you give up for Jesus, Martin?
He gave me a new life. He gave me a new life.
Amen.
Yep.
So you gave him a pile of rubbish. Is that what you're saying? All of us have come to Jesus and we've given him our filthy rags. All of us have come to Jesus and we've given him our filthy lifestyle. And he's taken that and he's changed you. And he's given in exchange to you a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. He's given you peace in your life.
Yeah.
He's given you joy. in your life. He's given you security in your life. And for every one of us, as we've come to Jesus, he gives to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. This is what God is doing. Amen? You bring your rubbish, and he changes it into gold. You bring your junk, and he changes it into jewels. Hallelujah. This is what God does. Amen? He's a God who's into changing things. He takes the bad things and turns them into good things. He takes the wicked and turns them into the good. Hallelujah. He takes the sick and he heals them. Hallelujah. This is the God we serve. And our faith needs to rise. Our faith needs to be challenged. We need to be in this Word of God. And this Word of God needs to be being stirred up within us. We need to begin to know this Word. And let this... If you don't know the Bible, if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't know what it means, you'll never use it to great effect. I remember years ago, I worked part-time for a company, a steel company in Sheffield when I was at university. And they had a Ford Transit van. No, a pickup. Ford Transit pickup. And it was an automatic. And everybody used to drive this thing. But nobody knew how to drive it. And I remember I was going out one day with somebody who said, "Oh, you've got to go with this chap in this truck. And you've got to go and take these, do a delivery somewhere." So off he said. So the guy said to me, "You drive it." I said, "Oh, okay." He says, "It's rubbish, this truck. It's slow. It's pathetic. These automatics are absolutely rubbish." So I jumped in it, and off we were trundling along. And for those of you that know, there's a thing called kick down on an automatic. Nobody knew about kick down that drove this automatic. So if you have an automatic and it will just plod along. Well, I kicked it down a couple of times and nothing happened. The kick down had never been used for such a long time. And then one time I kicked this thing down, pushed it to the floor, and this thing went and took off. And this guy went, "Whoa, what did you do? What did you do? How did you do it?" You see, my father had an automatic car. I knew there was a thing called kick down, you know. And when you punched it, this thing just dropped down a gear or two and it began to go. But nobody else knew how to use it. Well, why did they not know how to use it? They didn't take the handbook that belonged to the vehicle and find out about kick down. And if you don't know what's in this Word of God, you don't know where kick down is. You don't know where the anointing is. You don't know where the power is. You don't know about trusting God. You don't know about walking in faith. You don't know that he said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth." And when you're sick, he says, "I'm your healer. When you need help, I'm your deliverer. When you need wisdom, he says, I'm your wisdom. When you need knowledge, he says, I'm your knowledge. When you need faith, he says, I'm the God of faith. And when you need me, he says, I'm there for you." But you have to know what the Word of God says, so you can use this Word of God as a weapon against your thoughts and against your mind that thinks against the things of God. And you have to begin to move in this Word. But the Word has to be in you. And that's why we encourage and say, come on a Wednesday, come on a Sunday, be here amongst us. Let us help and let us teach the Word of God. Let us get into the Word and let us have God reveal something new of himself to us. You see, God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to show himself. God wants to reveal the miracles and the wonders and the signs that he wants to do in your life, through your life, and by your life. Hallelujah. This is the God I serve, a God of miracles. He's a God of signs and wonders. He's a God that wants to do great things. He's a God that saves lives from death. He's a God that takes junk and exchanges it and brings it into jewels. He's a God that takes trash and he turns it into gold. Refined, pure silver. God changes lives. There's a load of junk out there. And their lives need to be changed. They're running round for garbage. They're chasing the wind. They're chasing the riches of the world. And you know, it can go like that tomorrow. Just like that. Bang. Stock exchange can just plummet. And God is saying, trust me, commit your way to me. Don't trust in men, don't trust in McDonald's, don't trust in Sainsbury's, don't trust in wherever, King Asia, wherever you work. Trust in God to meet your needs. Trust in God to touch you and to bless you. What does cast mean? It means to roll all your problems. Roll all your difficulties. Just hurl them onto God. Say, Lord, I've got this care, I've got this worry, I've got this stress. Throw it onto God. Say, Lord, it's all yours. And as you throw it onto God, don't have a piece of rope tied to it. So all of a sudden you can say, well, when you need it, just when you need something to worry about, just drag it back again. And we so often, we want to drag our worries and cares back again. Why? Oh, I love a good worry. Oh, I love a good worry. You know, I've got to have something to fret about in my life. Well, let me tell you this. All that worrying and fretting does, it harms the heart. It weakens the heart. It puts pressure on the heart and begins to break it. So let go of the worries and the cares. And just cast them on God. Leave them there. Leave them there. Walk away from them and stay focused on God. Stay focused on His Word. Lord, You said. You said, Lord. Wednesday morning, God, You said to me, You will do it. And when I got there, I knew He was still going to do it. As we were walking to the offices, I said to Grace, I said, this is what God said to me this morning. He's going to do it. We walked through that door and it's like, He's going to do it. We got into the meeting. He did it. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what God is doing. You need to get excited about this same Jesus. Get excited about Him. He's excited about you. So He says, come on. We've got an adventure before us. You see, I'm an adventurer. If I'd have been born hundreds of years ago, I'd have probably been looking for America. You know, or I'd be going across somewhere, just looking for the other side of something. Yeah. See, I'm not a sitter, am I, Martin? I don't like to sit, you know. I've got to be. I'm a going, I'm a doing, I'm a being. When I go on holiday, I don't go to just lay down on the beach. I'm like, I get on the beach and within half an hour, I'm up. You know, I'm a bit like them meerkats, you know. What can I do next, you know? I've had half an hour, and Grace is saying, lay down, you're supposed to be resting. Yeah, okay, I've had half an hour resting, yeah, but lay down, you're supposed to be resting. I've had half an hour, you know, and I'm like, what can I do next? So much to see, so much to do, I want to be there doing it. And the same with God, there's so much to see, there's so much to do. And people said to me, oh, it must be boring being a Christian. You what? I don't have boring days with Jesus. I have exciting days with Jesus. Follow me, he says, and I will make you fishers of men. Whoa. There's a challenge there. Come on, follow me.
Yes.
Follow me.
Yes.
Each day, follow me. Instead, we're following something else. Instead, we've got our eyes fixed on something else and not fixed on Jesus. We need to commit your way. Commit your way to the Lord. Begin to do the Word of God. And you will see answers to your prayers. Who wants answers to prayers? You've got to begin to do the Word of God. You've got to act like this book says. You've got to be this book.
Yeah.
You and I are to be a living testimony that people look at and they read you.
Yeah.
They look at you and say, I know exactly what he's like. I can see Jesus in him. Yeah. I can see the power of God in their lives. There's something different about them that's not like the rest of the world. What is it? And the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. And you know, people will try and say, oh, God's just a myth. Well, I'll tell you what, for the last 40 odd years, he's been an amazing myth in my life. He's been an absolute fact. He's not fiction, he's fact. He talks to me. He leads me. He provides for me. He gives to me. I've seen him heal the sick. I've seen him move in churches and in people's lives. And people say it's boring being a Christian. Well, you must not know the same God that I know. You must not know the same Jesus that I know in the same way. Because it ain't boring. Sometimes I don't have enough energy to keep up with him.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, come on. So I don't want to leave some of you guys. But it's exciting. So for you and I, we need to take hold of God and let God take hold of you.
Yes.
You know, God comes along and he wants to take hold of you. He says, come on, we're going. And he wants to take hold of you. He wants you to move in his presence and in his power. Last week we were praying for people. Last week, weren't we? At the end of the service. Do you remember? Laying hands on the sick and praying for people. Money came out. I've never seen anybody lean so far back under the Holy Spirit and never fall over. I mean, he was like, nobody was touching him. And he was, the presence of God was on him. You felt something on Sunday, didn't you? The power of God was on your life. I mean, nobody was holding him up. I can't lean that far back. You saw it, didn't you? I mean, you were there. And the presence of God was there. You know why? Because God loves you. And God wants to do something for you. And God wants you to grab hold of Him like He's grabbing hold of you. These people outside this building, in this area, need a touch from Jesus. Need a touch of God on their lives. And the only way it's going to happen is when you and I get on our knees and pray. When you and I get out there and present the gospel. When you and I walk in the power of the Spirit of God. And when we do that, we'll see signs, wonders and miracles. We'll see lives being changed. We'll see the drug addicts being changed. We'll see the drug dealers being driven out of town. We'll see the streets being cleaned up towards the glory of God. Because He's going to do it, but He's going to do it through you and me. But it's a case we have to get a grip of Him. And don't give me excuses you don't have time. Because you have. If you can't make time for God, your life's a waste of time. You're wasting time. When Jesus allowed Himself to be nailed on a cross, when Jesus allowed Himself to be whipped within an inch of His life, when Jesus allowed them to thrust a spear into His side and blood and water came forth. I said, when Jesus allowed it. He could have come down. He could have said, listen. He could have said, Father, I cannot do this. Take me out of here. And if He'd have done that, you and I would be in a bigger mess. This world would be in a bigger mess than it is now. But the church, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, have got to begin to move and possess the land. It belongs to God. And when the church rises up, when the faith rises in churches around our nation, our land will begin to be redeemed and our land will become prosperous. And we as a nation will be prosperous. It says so in the Word of God. For a nation to be prosperous, it's about their place in the sight of God and God's place in the nation. You look at the heathen countries where there's poverty. Who do they worship? They worship false gods. They do not worship the living God. But when you begin to worship the living God, when a nation begins to follow God, then God begins to pour out His blessings. It says so in Deuteronomy, that He will bless the land. He will bless the kneading bowl. He will bless, and there will be coming an increase. But He said, if you forsake Me, if you deny Me, if you walk away from Me, then the land will be cursed. I don't want to live in a cursed land. I want to live in a blessed land. And so it is my responsibility, your responsibility, and every disciple's responsibility to follow hard after Jesus and begin to speak the words of faith. You know, when you've Jesus in your life, when you've cast all your care upon Him, you have great contentment. You're at peace with yourself. You're at peace with God. And those are so important. You can rest in the blessings and the promises of God because God said He would bless you.
Yes.
Because you're His child. But we have to walk daily with Him. We have to spend time with Him. You eat every day. You need to spend time in the Word of God every day. Not just popping in now and again. And so many people go to churches and they pop in now and again. Oh, I'll just go. It makes me look... It just keeps them quiet. Stops the pastor nagging at me and saying, when shall we see you again? The church doesn't wake up. The church doesn't take its rightful place in the kingdom of God. Then it'll be driven down by the devil and all his ways. But it's time for the bride to arise and dress herself in glory. It is time for the church to arise in the power and dress herself in the glory of the Word of God. And as she begins to arise and dress herself in the glory and in the power of God, then we'll see our nations changing. God has not given up on the earth. The earth is the Lord's, and everything that is in it belongs to God. It does not belong to the devil, because when Jesus came and died on that cross and rose again on that third day, He took the keys of death and hell. He took the authority of the land off the devil and said, it now no longer belongs to you, but it belongs back to God's people. And we are God's people. And when we walk in that light and when we believe that and we act upon that, we will see God moving in power. But God is going to move through you. He moves through people. He don't just suddenly appear and, you know, bring a wave and do something. He uses people. Are you prepared to be used by God? Are you prepared to be a vessel for God? It's going to take some commitment. It's going to take some trusting God. Grace and I have trusted Him for over 40 odd years. And if I had the opportunity to turn the clock back 40 odd years, the question would be, would I make the same decisions? The answer is yes. I'd make them earlier, I'd make them harder, I'd make them more that I'd stick even more to it. I'd be even more radical now than I am, whatever. I don't believe I can be radical enough for Jesus.
Never.
They're going to have to kill me to shut me up. I hope that we're right, sort of, amen, that one. You just be careful what you're saying, look. You're going to have to take my voice off me to shut me up. And even then, if I lost my voice, I'd still go around praying for people. You know, I'm going to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus, and I'll pray in the Spirit somehow, and God will do a work, because the Christ is within each and every one of us. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's life in this book. The moment that you begin to read the Bible, you're beginning to speak life. Faith. Have you got faith to move a mountain of fear, a mountain of unbelief, a mountain of doubt? Who are you afraid of? We should be more afraid of God than we are of anybody else or anything else in this world. I know in some societies, you know, you're afraid of your grandparents and your parents at times. You need to have a greater fear of God. That if you deny Him, He will deny you. Don't deny the living God. Don't deny the Christ. And He will not deny you. He will bless you. He will pour out into your life. In Matthew chapter 6, you know, all of your salvation, much of your teaching can be found in Matthew chapter 6. 5, 6 and 7. Matthew's got, if you were to just read that for a month, 5, 6 and 7 and 8 maybe, Matthew's Gospel. Just keep reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. By the end of the month, you will be a different person. You wouldn't have to read the whole Bible. Just read Matthew 5, 6, 7 and 8. You'll be a different person by a month. Oh, but that's too much trouble, Andrew, to do that. You know, that's a lot of work to do that. You play for hours on your iPhones, on your Xboxes, on your computers. You'll talk garbage on Facebook and everything else. When it comes to the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And it goes on and says, take no thought about tomorrow. When he says take no thought, it means don't worry. Don't stress about tomorrow. God's already got tomorrow planned. He knows everything that is going to happen tomorrow. You don't. You and I don't even know if we're going to wake up in the morning. Now you young people, you think, I'll wake up because I'm young. Don't believe it. Your breath, my breath, belongs to God. My heartbeat belongs to God. He's in control. Choose you this day. Choose you this day who you will serve, Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve God. We will serve God. And we will trust Him forever. Don't be a person that's afraid. Don't be a person that's worrying and afraid to trust God. Don't be a person that's saying, oh, this can't happen, this won't happen, this will never be, this is not going to work. You have those people who constantly are saying the negatives around you. Be a person who says, it can. It can. Be a I can person. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But if you don't know the Bible, this is where your strength comes from. Daniel goes to the gym. Well, so he tells us. He goes to this gym, and every story we hear him tell us, he's either in the sauna or he's in the jacuzzi. I've never heard him being on the rowing machine, the lifting machines, or anything like that. It's always in the sauna or it's always in the jacuzzi, right? Now, I'm sure you don't get fit being in the sauna and the jacuzzi. That's the place where you just chill, you know.
Rich, come on, Rich.
Now you see, the Word of God is not a jacuzzi. It's not a sauna. Well, it could be at times, I suppose. Yeah, God could turn the heat up on you now and again. Usually that's a fiery furnace though. But you see, if you go to a gym, you need to use the equipment to build the muscles, to build your stamina up. That does not happen in a jacuzzi or a sauna, does it? No. So When it comes to knowing the Word of God, when it comes to being strong and powerful in the Spirit and the Word of God, you need to be in this book. You need to know this book. We need to be taught what is in this book. You see, this book is written as a mystery. Scholars, university people read this book, and when they get to the end of it, they say, there's no God. I've read it, and there's no God. No, you'll not find God with your mind. You'll not find God with your intellect. But God is spirit. And you only find him when you read these pages in under the anointing of the Spirit of God. And then you begin to find God. And you begin to know the power of a living God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Most of us know it. I can. Can you? I can. Can you? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. He's not saying, I can't. He's saying, I can. I can. Because that's what the Bible says. I can. Because it's not me doing it. It's the God in me. It's the Jesus in me that's doing it. When we were praying for people last week, when people get healed, it's not me, it's not anybody that's praying for you, it's the God, it's the Spirit of God in them that is doing that work. We're just the connectors. We're the ones who are encouraging you. Come on, go for this, receive it in Jesus' name. Be a child that walks by faith. Don't walk by sight. But walk by faith. Amen. Come on. God's saying, come on, trust me. Come on, walk with me. Peter, get out of the boat. But Lord, my family has been fishing for a gazillion years. And nobody in my family has ever walked on water. My family knows you cannot walk on water. I've been taught that from this eye. You cannot walk on water. When the Son of God, Jesus, says to him, come, come. All the I can'ts disappeared. All the impossibles disappeared. And he began to walk on water. And then all of a sudden he started to look at his surroundings. Ooh. And down he started to go. Jesus Christ grabbed hold of him. Stood him back on the water. And when Jesus grabbed hold of him, he grabbed him. And they made contact. Jesus and Peter made contact. Everything else faded into oblivion. And Peter and Jesus walked back to the boat. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the problems. Don't look at the challenges and the difficulties. Look at the one who will win you the challenge and the victory. Jesus. And he walks back onto that boat. The other 11 disciples are sat in the boat like this. Did you see that? Why didn't you go? Huh? Can you imagine? Why didn't you go? And you'd say, well, why didn't you go? I don't know, but I wish I had. Can you imagine that experience with Jesus? Be a child of God that walks by faith and not by sight. He walks by faith. God said it, I'm going to do it. God promised it, He will do it. It's not about what's happening around me. It's not about the circumstances around me. God said He's going to do it, so He's going to do it. You know, I've had to walk by faith, Grace and I, for 20 years for a building. Has He done it?
Yes.
Amen. He's done it. But we need to continue to walk by faith and see Him do the rest.
Yes.
See this place filled. Filled not with just with people, but filled firstly with the glory of God. Filled with the power of God. And that means that you and I have to play an important part in this. You know, be at the prayer meeting. Be at the Bible study prayer meeting. Get there at all costs. I don't care if you come for the last half hour. Get there. When I was a teenager, I was working overtime at a company I worked for. I used to ride past my home, forget about my tea, and I used to go to church just to get to the last half hour of the prayer meeting. Because I wanted to know, if God turned up that Wednesday night and I missed it, there would be nobody more mad than me. I wanted to be there just in case something was happening in the power of the Spirit, because I wanted everything that I could get hold of God. I wanted it. I was hungry and thirsty and greedy for the things of God. You can get a meal anytime. But you can't get God if you don't turn up. You need to be there when He's there. Your worst enemy, my worst enemy, is the flesh. Oh, I'm too tired to go to church. Oh, it's too cold, it's too wet. I'll go another time. What happens if we're not here another time? Huh? If we do not begin to move in the power of the Spirit, the enemy will move against us. The church, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, have to be powerful in the Word of God. I have to know the Word of God. But this flesh worries about tomorrow. And worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. And worry brings with it, I can't do this. Worry brings with it doubt. Worry brings problems. Worry brings cares. Worry brings storms in our lives. You know, you can worry about something till literally you've just about created it to happen in your own mind. There are people who have breakdowns, and yet nothing really is going on that is not solvable in their life, but they have worried and worried and worried so much that this thing becomes so big that to them it is now a mountain of impossibilities. It is a mountain of care. It is a mountain of stress and of worry. And they go to the doctors and say, oh doctor, I need something to take to get rid of this mountain of worry. So it gives them a pile of pills and they just become dopey and daft. So it helps them forget. That's why the drug addicts take drugs. It helps them forget. Pushes them to another level, so they say. They have a great time, and when they come down, they haven't got a clue what's been happening. The drug uses them, abuses them, and destroys them, and gets them to a place where they can't give it up. It has now got control. We meet so many of them, and they're taking prescribed drugs. And they say, I'm not on drugs anymore. Oh, aren't you? No. And then suddenly you find out they're on methadone, Subutex, something else, and something else. And you say, I thought you weren't on drugs. Well, I'm not. I'm not taking heroin. It's like, no. But you're still dependent on something else. Let me tell you, the greatest answer, the greatest thing that you can ever be dependent upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He will not fail you. The drug addicts, the guys that know all these drug addicts in the past that have had friends will tell you they know drug addicts that have died because of bad drugs. Jesus never gives you anything bad. He's the answer. Let your language of faith be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what we need to be praying over our lives. The other week we did a study of quoting and use the word of God over your life. And it's about letting this word become real in you. I've been doing some fresh studies of the Word of God, and I've just been digging and seeking and finding things, and I'm like, wow, the mysteries that are written in this book that many people have never seen. And I'm like, wow, God, this is amazing. And they don't teach them in Bible college. Can't teach everything in Bible college. The best teacher you've got is the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God in your local church. Do you know what the Word of Faith says? The language of faith says? It says, I cannot be conquered.
Yeah.
The language of faith says, I cannot be conquered. That's a bit arrogant, Andrew. But that's what the Word says, I cannot be conquered. For it says, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. And the Bible goes on to say, you're more than a conqueror. Now, if I'm going to take the word of God as being true, then I cannot be conquered. As long as I stay in relationship with the Lord Jesus, as long as I stay in this word of God, the Bible says I cannot be conquered. Nothing can conquer me. The moment I step out from the covering and the blessing of God, then I'm being conquered. But when I stay in this book, when I stay in the presence of God, when I stay in relationship with Him, I cannot be conquered. Can you say that? I cannot be conquered.
I cannot be conquered.
Come on. I cannot be conquered. Oh, this is pathetic. I can do it on my own, louder than with it, well, without even having a microphone. I cannot be conquered. You have to tell yourself, because the devil's saying, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to crush you, I'm going to destroy you. And you've got to turn around and say, I cannot be conquered, because greater is He that is in me than him that's in the world. I cannot be conquered. I'm a winner. Are you a winner? That's three of you. I said, are you a winner? I'm using more energy than any of you. Are you cold? Come up here and preach with me. You'll soon get warm. I cannot be conquered. I'm a winner. Glory to Jesus. Greater is He that is in me than him that's in the world, the Bible says. You've got to tell yourself. When the devil comes knocking at your door, he says, I want to come in. You say, clear off. Because greater is in me, is Jesus, than you. And you have no right in my home. You have no right in my life. Stand on the authority of the Word of God. Stand on the promises of the Word of God. Psalm 27 and verse 1 says, Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid of? When the police go around in their uniforms, and you know they've got the uniforms on, they're not, shouldn't be afraid. Probably are these days to some degree with life as it is, because we've lost the godliness in our nation. But one time when I was a child, you saw a man in a uniform, it's like, ooh, I'm not doing anything, officer. You know? And the Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Is he your salvation?
Yes.
Have you taken Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And if you've got to that point, then you can begin to read on. And as David says, whom shall I fear? He used to guard sheep. He had a sling against the lion, the bear, and the wolves. And he used to protect his sheep with that. And he used to take his little guitar and he used to sing songs unto the Lord. These psalms, many of them he wrote whilst he was watching over the sheep. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. Who shall I be afraid? David was the smallest guy in the tribe. He was the youngest. You know, all his brothers had gone to join the army. David was keeping sheep. Great job. You know, lonely job. And there he was, out on his own under the stars, prowling lions and bears around. And yet he says, I'm not afraid. I've killed a bear. I've killed a lion because God is with me. He said he'd never leave me and never forsake me. Let the language of faith say, I cannot be conquered. I cannot be defeated. If a natural foe comes against me, it cannot defeat me. Because there is a supernatural force that dwells within me, that protects me, that gives me strength. So therefore, I cannot be conquered. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, you are God's little children. And I have overcome them. But greater is he that is in the world than he that is. Sorry, greater that is in you than he that is in the world. We are overcomers. And Jesus, through his power on that death on that cross, has overcome the world and has defeated the world. You and I, when we begin to read this word of God, we're strengthened from within. We're strengthened from within. It gives us strength. So therefore, let us rise up and stand in faith. And let us begin to see by the eye of faith. Don't look by the eye of the flesh. We have to go by the eye of faith. We have to trust God and believe God. We don't walk by our natural eyes. We walk by the eye of the Spirit. And we trust God. We believe God. And we expect God to move. And while we're in this word, He confirms His word. And this word is powerful. This word changes people's lives. This word changes circumstances and situations. Jesus spoke the words, and the sea and the wind ceased from their raging. Jesus spoke to the dead, and they came alive. This word changes lives. This word is powerful. You need it. I need it. We need as much as this as we can get hold of. And this word needs to become a living, powerful, moving force within our own life. And finally, you need to be strong. You need to be strong. Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. And verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's crafty. Tries to distract you, tries to blow you off course. Tries to bring doubt and fears and unbelief. Verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil works on your mind. If he can sow seeds of doubt and unbelief, you will fall. You have to believe God. You have to deal with your mind. And the only way you deal with your mind is through the Word of God. You don't take pills to fix your mind. You take the Word of God. You take the gospel. You take the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that'll sort your mind out. That will bring you into a place where God wants you to be. Knowing the mind of Christ, having the mind of Christ, and acting on it. You and I need to literally get a spiritual rope and tie yourself to God. Tie yourself to God. Many years ago, round about in the 1930s, they were developing ways of flying. And the Americans and the Germans had developed these airships. Weren't too clever, these things were, but they developed them. They were going to use them to fly. And the Americans had got one, and they were demonstrating what it could do, and they'd got it hankered down. And they got 200 sailors all holding ropes to hold it in place. And somehow the wind got up. 200 sailors were not enough. And all of a sudden, they began to go up in the air. Many of them let go of the rope. Some people hung on. Hung on as long as they could, and then came crashing down to the earth and died. There was one man left hanging onto a rope. And he was there before they could get him down. He was there for 1 hour and 45 minutes hanging onto this rope. People were fainting and screaming, because they were expecting him to fall any minute. Yet he hung on for an hour and 45 minutes until they got him back to the ground. And they said to him, how is it you managed to hang on to that rope for so long? He said, well, there was a bit left over, about 4 feet. He says, and I wrapped it around my waist with my other hand and I tied it to myself. So he said, I was trusting in the rope and not in my strength. Trust in Jesus and not your strength. Trust in Jesus and not your job. Trust in Jesus and you'll know you'll be a winner. Trust in God. Let me ask you to do one thing. Everybody stand, please. Right, what I want you to do, I want you to, where you are, just turn around and look around this building. Just look around this building. All the way around, go all the way around, just look around the building and tell me what you see. What do you see? Who's going to be brave? Who's going to be brave and tell me what you see? I know you think it's a trick. That's why you're keeping quiet. I know how you work. I know your minds are ticking. It's not a trick. What do you see? Huh? Empty seats, okay. That's one thing. Graham sees empty seats. Okay, well, anybody else? What do you see? Jesus on the cross. Ah, you took it down, didn't you? I had to put it back up. What else do you see? Huh? Oh, the promise of God. Amen. What else do we see? Huh? Fulfillment of God's promise? Okay. You still haven't got there, you see. I'll tell you what I see. When I look around, I'm going to tell you what I see. I see every seat filled with a person that is in love with Jesus. I see every seat being filled. I see the worship group and the presence of God coming in this place. And I see people coming out for healing and the power of God setting the captives free. That's what I see. I see a place filled with people seeking God. I don't see an empty building. I have to see by the eye of faith. What do you see? Is my question. Can you see that with me? You have to, by the eye of faith, begin to say, God, what is your promise to us? What is your promise to us, Lord? I want to see your promise. And the Lord, I'm saying, I want to see that promise being fulfilled. I have a dream. Martin Luther said, so do I. I have a dream. And he's my God. And he's given me promises. I have a dream. I have a vision. And God will bring it to pass. But you know, do you want to be involved with it? Do you want to be part of it? Well, look around again. And look by the eye of faith. And begin to see friends, relatives, strangers sat in seats nearby you, next to you, and they're living for Jesus. Do it again. Look around, and begin to see. Go on, look around. Begin to see those seats filled with people with their hands lifted up, praising God. The Bible says, you have not, because you ask not. Well, I'm asking, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you asking, or are you just on for a ride? Are you going to get involved and ask? Are you going to commit your ways? Are you going to commit your life totally to trusting God and see lives being changed, this place being filled with people and the glory of God? Amen. Be a I can person. Be I will person. Be the one that says, I am more than a conqueror. I cannot be beaten while Christ resides within me. Cigarettes won't beat me. Alcohol won't beat me. Drugs won't beat me. Gambling won't beat me. Women won't beat me. Nothing can beat the Jesus out of me. And when you stand on those promises and believe God, nothing shall take me away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for your time. Hallelujah.
God's been reminding me very much this week. It seems to be in two or three places where I've looked. God has been speaking about Gideon and how Gideon was hiding in the wine press. Why? He was afraid. And God looked at him and he said, "You mighty man of valor, what are you afraid of?" He didn't see a weakling. He saw a mighty man of God. And he achieved so much for God, not with a massive amount of men, but with the power of God. And that same spirit dwells in us. And we can do all things, as we've been encouraged this afternoon through Christ who strengthens us. So let's take courage. Let's go for it. Let's believe it. Let's see it. And we shall see it. Yes, most definitely. I can confirm everything Andrew's been saying today, because God has been speaking on exactly the same lines to me. And we haven't been conferring. It's just like God has got a message. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. No excuses. No culture barriers. No fear barriers. No inadequacy, no inferiority. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's do it. Amen. We're here on Tuesday morning for those who are doing the language classes, and we're back on Wednesday. The youth are here on Friday, and we're here back again on Sunday. Praise God.
I just feel if God has challenged you today, I want you to come out. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to stand together before God and declare our faith and our promise before the Lord. And we're just going to take hold of Him. So if God has spoken to you, then just come out. We're just going to pray. There's a group of believers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, let's get on fire for God. Let's believe God to do something great. And I'm not talking about you doing it. I'm talking about the God in you doing it through you. You know, Jesus took the few and confounded the many. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you right now. Lord, as we stand in your presence, we make our commitment to you. That, Lord, that we will put you first. And that in putting you first, O God, we shall see your hand working in our lives. And we shall see the power of the Word of God moving through our lives. And, Lord, the people that we come into contact with shall be changed by the power of the gospel. And so, Father, I pray over this Word. I pray, O God, over the promise you've given to us, that, Lord, you would cause it all to come to pass. And so we just commit it all to you, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.